Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The talking is over. Let the dancing commence. After 19 months closed and last-minute wrangling over new safety rules, late-night entertainment will reopen across the country later on tonight. However, it comes against the backdrop of increasing pressure on the country's hospitals and questions over the regulation of COVID certificate checks. Some venues had hoped to open earlier this morning, just after midnight, but cancelled that due to a lack of clear guidelines from the government, they said. In amongst the disappointed revellers last night was our own Barry Lenehan. Barry, you're back in Dublin City Centre now. What happened last night?
Yes, good morning, Philip. I'm talking to you. I'm walking through a laneway at the moment, which has seen nothing but tumbleweed for the last 19 months. It's a laneway that many people across the country will know well, I would say, connecting Camden Street and Harker Street, which where you'd often see stars from Croke Park after big matches as well in the early hours of the morning. And as I go under the tunnel here to my left, you have graffiti on the left. It says, "It's packed full of crack and it's back, copper face Jackson." As I walk on now to Harker Street, the lights are on in Copperface Jacks. The preparations are ongoing. The glasses are being cleaned, I'm told. Some last minute deliveries. The kegs are ready. The DJ is tuning up the 5 mega mix of Nathan Carter's Rock Me Mama Like a Wagon Wheel. And these scenes, well, they'll be replicated across Harker Street, down to my left and Crystal and Dicey's, up to my right towards the Black Door, and replicated in towns right across Ireland for the return of late night entertainment, for the return of nightclubs. Great anticipation, great excitement, but great confusion as well, as you said before the break, with the Dublin Licensed Vintners Association tweeting in the last few minutes how there still aren't any clear guidelines from the government published for the reopening of nightclubs, and that less than with 10 and a half hours to go until Coppers opens beside me and the rest of them as well. Some clubs are supposed to open at midnight, just after midnight, including the Academy and Pygmalion on South William Street. They were forced to cancel, well, just around, in Pygmalion's case, around an hour and a half to go, due to, as we say, this last-minute wrangling over these guidelines, which we still don't think we have. But revellers last night, they were disappointed, but there was great anticipation as well ahead of this reopening.
Delighted to see them back. I mean, for the past like year and a half, we've been stuck in our house trying to make our own little gas. But now the clubs are reopened, we're ready to take over. We're ready to take over.
I heard in other places in Europe, they replace the dance floor with like a bunch of tables. And if you leave your table, then you're getting kicked out. But hopefully Ireland doesn't do it like that. And they just leave it like the way it was, because that's fine. Everyone's vaccinated now.
It's going to be very, very tough for them to keep it cool at first. But I feel like after a while, maybe when people get used to, you know, the usual rules about and whatever, then I say it'll get a lot more comfortable. Still 2,000 cases a day, and you know, like that's not going to go down. And I think that it is key that clubs do stick to showing COVID certs, or else that number is never going to go down.
Yeah, Pygmalion, but then they cancelled it at the last minute, so
which is shocking.
I feel like it's not their fault.
I feel like it's the government's fault.
Yeah,
because the government didn't give them enough time to get ready.
The guidelines finalised very late,
yeah,
this evening.
It was
not fair. It's not fair on the nightclubs either.
For them. I feel bad for them.
You must be keen to get back, that you were ready to go at midnight and day one.
Raring to go, but just wasn't to be.
I'm fully vaccinated, but a lot of people aren't, and that's not fair either.
How do you see it working at the bar now? They're saying no congregations, use your common sense. How do you see that working out?
No one has common sense when they're drunk.
So they just need to let us live our life now.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. If you get COVID, fair enough. If you have the vaccine, it shouldn't matter that much, should it? Like, I'm not going to meet my nanny in the next 2 weeks because I've gone out. Because I'm, like, aware of that.
I feel like tomorrow is going to be a mad one. Hopefully no violence. Dublin City just be a bit mad when it gets together. But I reckon it'll be good for everything to open back up. A few drinks, a bit of crack.
Waiting for this moment for a long time, have you?
I have indeed, yeah. I'm waiting to get out now the last 2 years, get a few women, you know, yourself.
It's been difficult to dance and do it, whatever else over the last little while.
I've been doing enough dancing outside now to tell you the truth, but it's getting a bit cold now, but I'll grin, I'll bleed and tear the floorboards up and I grin. It's been that long since I've been in a nightclub, well, I'll have to discover everything again.
It's kind of annoying, like, getting kicked out at 11:30, like, in the evenings and stuff, but probably I saved a lot of money, so... I think sometimes things can get messy after 11:30, so... it's probably a bit safer, to be honest, that things close early. But I know that's not a very popular opinion.
I feel very excited, but at the same time, a little bit scared. Obviously, there's been a lot of things going around about a lot of girls getting spiked. And even with the needles and all, like, that's quite scary. So it's a little bit overwhelming, a little bit scary, but I'm very excited.
Positive note, what are you looking forward to about getting back into the clubs?
Dancing!
Getting the dance on, yeah. Getting the groove on. But bring the live music back.
Close, half 11, 11, like, you know, like, it kind of forces people to drink a lot before the pub and then go in smash, whereas I think if people are in places are open longer, people can enjoy their drink, enjoy their time, and like you don't have to worry about being kicked out at a certain hour. Do you know what I mean?
People are saying maybe we should be pausing this due to the number of cases.
I think definitely, but at the same time, like, I think it is just a bit, it's about time to get back to normality, and we need to just be following our other countries and just getting back to it all.
What's most fun about that, Barry, is that some of them sound almost as enthusiastic as you about the reopening. But tell me, what more do we know about the specifics of this, the guidelines and the confusion around them? Are we likely to see celebrations tonight, or has the lateness, as somebody was suggesting there, perhaps the lateness of the government's decision stymied that?
Yeah, well, the chief medical officer, Dr. Tony Holland, he's urged people to be careful during the week. He says we're all just about to remember what the nightclub experience is like. However, he didn't rule out or perhaps prohibit close contact activities such as what you might get in here beside me, such as shifting and coppers. In terms of the guidelines, as we say, we're still unclear as to whether we have the finalised document. We know that they will include maximised ventilation, social distancing as far as possible, cleaning as much as possible, but what are the specifics of those provisions? That's what club operators are trying to figure out this morning. There had been a bit of to-ing and fro-ing in the talks with the department officials over whether nightclubs could only operate ticketed events for the purposes of contact tracing. That in the end, not a mandatory requirement, we believe, but rather recommended. 100% capacity allowed in nightclubs as well. COVID certs must be checked, as must the ID as well. However, it's also believed that contact tracing details must be taken as is required for pubs as well. So how will that play out in large venues such as the ones here on Harcourt Street? And also last drinks at the bar, last called here 590 days ago, how will that mad scramble play out at bar counters up and down the country later tonight and throughout the next few days? Masks as well, believed to be a requirement for toilets and at the bar. But to learn more over how we think these provisions will play out, I've been talking to nightclub promoter Buzz O'Neill, who's holding three events here in Dublin City this weekend, including where I met him in Opium behind me here.
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous situation that it went down to hours, literally, before places are to open, you know, and guidelines still aren't 100% clear. We'd really appeal to people this weekend. We're all going to be under a lot of pressure. It's a whole new world for everybody. And just show a little bit of patience and a little bit of respect for the staff. The staff are as nervous as anybody else, and we want to get this right. We have one chance to get it right this weekend, and if we mess it up this weekend, we could be back to square one.
Really, you think that if something goes wrong this weekend, and perhaps the plug could be pulled pretty early?
Yeah, and you know, but we want to show government, we want to show everyone in the country that we are these professionals that we say we are, and we can run things properly and safely, and that's what we want to do.
Bar counter in front of us here to be busy over the weekend, so how exactly will it work?
So think of it exactly the same way as you queue for the next till in Tesco or at security at Dublin Airport. You know, we will run a rope and stanchion queue system, and there will be a staff member at the top of that queue, and they will call you and send you to the next bar person. So in a way, it might actually even could actually even speed up service. It's one customer, one bar person, and next, and we just keep going and we just keep knocking them out there.
What else might look different when people return, or what else are you planning for?
I just think as well, we would ask people, come early. You know, if you have a ticket for a club or a gig or whatever it is you're going to this weekend, come early. Going to take that little bit longer to get in. You know, you're going to have three checks effectively. You know, you're going to have your vaccine cert checked. You're going to have your ID checked to verify that it matches it, and then you're going to have to get your ticket scanned. So it will be just a little bit, take that little bit longer at the door.
Three bouncers to meet you first go, and then another few bouncers at the next go, as sort of a stepped process.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, But myself as a promoter and all the venues that I'm working with, you know, we're throwing staff at this. We're throwing as many people as possible at this. It's definitely been a challenge, and a lot of the venues have gone out of their way to, you know, to pull people from left, right and centre, you know.
How sustainable is that if the staff simply aren't there, though?
I think when we get up and running and people can see that there's work there for them on a very part-time basis, that hopefully that drain will disappear. We want to get this one weekend just out of the way, you know. Just, there's a lot of nerves from our point of view.
That's very interesting, Barry, what Buzz O'Neill is saying there about the amount of staff that they're having to throw at this problem now. Are all clubs going to be able to open up under those circumstances?
Yeah, well, some clubs aren't simply going to be open due to a lack of staff, the difficulty in getting stock as well at the last minute, and also licensing requirements as well, and whether it'll be financially viable amid all the uncertainty. The popular spot Legs on Leeson Street, for instance, going to sit it out for a few weeks, its owner was telling me yesterday. Real nervousness talking to promoters, club owners, managers about getting this right. So much still up in the air, and really tonight, by many being treated as a soft launch, trying to keep it as low key as possible, perhaps not the boisterous scenes we saw in England when they had their major reopening of late night venues. So it has left a scramble and that air of uncertainty, as we said. But one of those involved in the talks from the Give Us a Night campaign was DJ Sunil Sharp, and he's been telling me more of the prevailing mood amongst those in the industry.
It's still uncertain. It's been very uncertain up to now. There's more uncertainty still about how this will all work out from an operations point of view over the weekend. There's a lot being asked of the industry now, and I just hope that the government will be understanding of the amount of pressure they've put the industry under here with the lateness of their response to provide these guidelines and the uncertainty about what these regulations were going to be in the first place. The extra burden of all these additional guidelines and regulations, I mean, that's a lot for venues to take on. There's no flexibility in terms of entry requirements as well. It's COVID CERS only. It isn't taking into consideration those who aren't able to take the vaccine. I'm seeing here in Ireland.
Increased role of antigen testing put forward by NPHET earlier this week, and feel it could be something the industry leans on as it reopens.
I don't see why we have been so slow to even enter into that discussion. It seems like it wasn't on the table at all, and it's only really been in the last week that it's started to develop, and where there's been a little bit more of an acknowledgement from the health department that it could play a part or a role in nightlife in the future.
You were in the discussions hammering out the minutiae. Just how different will these venues look?
In a lot of ways, I think it'll look very similar, actually. I think what has changed through COVID is we've naturally learned to respect other people's space more than we may have pre-COVID, and I think naturally you will see the lingering impact and effect of that.
Your performers have on what is the significance of this weekend for you?
It's gone on far too long. We should have been opened by now. Generally, once you're in, you're not really bothered too much. You know, once you're sound, once you're not causing hassle for other people, you're let at it. That's part of the whole escapism and enjoyment of going out at night. Nobody likes the idea that we have all these regulations and all these extra guidelines. You know, I don't think any venue wants to be over-policing any events that they're putting on. We're in extraordinary times at the moment. I'm just hoping that those extraordinary times are soon going to be behind us.
Sunil Sharp there talking to Barry Lenehan, who I suspect is going to stay in Harcourt Street now this morning so that he's top of the queue tonight. Am I right, Barry?
Philip, I'll only stay if you'll be my wingman tonight, so put on your best tweed jacket and join me.
Oh, we'd be a funny looking pair, all right. Barry, thank you very much. Let's go beyond Newlands Cross now. I'm joined by Declan Manton of The Well in Moat, County Westmeath. Declan, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
585 days since you have had dancing under the roof of The Well, because you have had autumn dances outside. What does it mean to you to reopen now?
Oh my God, it means an awful lot really for me and my staff and customers that we hope to be back on track. It's a lot of pressure on there tomorrow night. We were already told yesterday evening that we could open, like, you know, and okay, time to get organised staff. The staff are on standby, but we need extra staff now because there's extra work.
How many extra staff are you going to have to bring in, Declan?
We'll probably have to get a few extra door people because there's a queue up at the bar and all this, like, you know. And you don't want to be putting customers under pressure either. Like, everything will fall into place, but it's going to be the first night is going to be the one that's
Is it going to be viable, you know, bringing these extra staff? Is there any profit to be made for you out of this?
There's nothing. There's nothing to be made out of this. Like, you know, I mean, normally, I suppose we would have only two doormen on, and I think maybe tomorrow night we might have to have five doormen on.
Okay. It goes without saying that you could have had a little bit more notice and time on the guidelines for preparation.
Look, it's terrible short notice. I mean, 6 o'clock on a Thursday evening, and you're supposed to have everything hunky-dory and ready for 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. Like, you know, it's not on.
Can you do that? Or do you think you're going to be able to operate within the guidelines given that short notice?
Well, look, we're going to do our damnedest. We have to, because, I mean, our customers are crying out for it to get back, like, you know, and it's we could have been opened, you know, weeks ago, months ago, like, with a reduced amount of people or so. But we have to open. Let's put it that way.
You heard there what Buzz O'Neill was suggesting, that they're going to have a roped-off queue so that you don't have people standing three deep at the bar. Are you going to have to operate something similar like that?
We will have to, yeah. You know, and, of course, my customers wouldn't be used to that, you know, so it's going to be strange tomorrow night, like, you know.
Yeah, I suspect that we're all very adaptable, though.
Well, we are. And, I mean, the number one priority, of course, is everybody's health and all that, like, you know. So, I mean, people will respect people, like, you know, and do what we hear.
Have you been contacted by anybody who hasn't been vaccinated yet asking whether they can come or not?
Not right now, but I did get a few phone calls maybe about 5 or 6 weeks ago when we were doing outdoor events, and they were very, at the time, they were wondering what was the story with them. But of course, at that time, they could attend. But nobody has contacted me, today or even yesterday or this week.
And what would you say to them now if they do? What would you say to them now if they do?
Well, I mean, I know it's hard. It's hard on them, but I mean, it's government law. It's not my law, you know. And we have to go by guidelines.
And it would be the best thing for them to do?
Just go and get vaccinated.
Go and get vaccinated. Declan, thank you very much.
This is here for a long time. Like, you know what I mean? It's not going to be just a... this is here to stay. So let's be sorted out, like, you know. So... vaccinated, that's
no, well, no, exactly, absolutely. This ain't going anywhere very quickly at the moment, is it? Declan, thank you very much. I'm also joined by Gerald Barry, Assistant Professor of Virology in UCD. Gerald, good morning. What are your thoughts on nightclubs opening now and operating at 100% capacity?
Hi, good morning. I think this is really good, actually. I look at this with great optimism that we're, you know, finally reopening sections of society that have been punished so badly over this pandemic. So I'm really pleased, and you can hear the excitement in people's voices, I suppose. So that's just brilliant.
It's impossible not to be infected by that. What human being couldn't be? But when you put your virology hat back on again, do you have any qualms?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's very much mixed emotions. Like, there's great enthusiasm and optimism, but yeah, I think we have to look at the reality of this virus. And unfortunately, we know that any kind of social gathering increases the risk of transmission of this highly infectious virus. And so when you look at an environment like a nightclub, for example, very close contact with people, then inevitably that is going to increase the risk of transmission. But particularly in a context of where we have very high levels of virus in the country. So there is a concern associated with that. But I think it's important that we don't turn around and start kind of finger pointing at nightlife and blaming everything on them and as I say, punishing that section of society for what is a general issue across the country.
Yeah, because I suppose you go to a nightclub to do two things, to dance and to drink, neither of which you're going to have to do or can do with a mask on. In fact, the only time you're really going to be wearing the mask is when you come into the place and when you're queuing for a drink. In those circumstances, what do we do? Do we just wait and see what the case numbers possibly arising from these kind of venues is like before making a decision? Is this a sort of a live experiment, as it were?
In a way, it is, unfortunately. Like, it is, like, if you look at what's happening, we're opening up these sections of society in the context of increasing case numbers, increasing hospitalizations. It seems very counterintuitive that we're doing it at this time, and we weren't doing it, you know, for example, during the summer when we had much lower rates in the country. And because nothing else is changing in terms of public health policy or any kind of government policy to try and control the virus across the country, then yes, it is in a way a kind of a look and see, keep the fingers crossed and hope things don't get too bad kind of a situation, unfortunately. And it's very hard to predict where this thing is going to go. It might lead to an increase in cases. Hopefully it doesn't. But I think the logic would tell you that any increase in socialization is probably going to increase numbers in the country. And it's just a question of how bad that gets to an extent, yeah, or maybe how willing or how able our health service is able to deal with it, I think is ultimately the question, unfortunately. And we know that our health service is not really able to deal with any kind of increase because they're already kind of overwhelmed. So that is really the worrying kind of dynamic that's looking ahead of us, I suppose, over the next few months, unfortunately. Because I don't see anything else changing in terms of policy that's going to try and deal with that potential or try and stop that potential increase in cases.
Indeed. Gerald Barry, thank you very much. Coming up next, Room to Improve's quantity surveyor, Patricia Power, is going to be here to answer your construction questions, which you can text us now on 51551 or email todaycb@rte.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.